Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Hi, welcome everybody to the Weekly Workplace. My name is Ray Lyon, and I'm the Associate Director at Missouri Training Institute. And I have a wonderful guest with us today. This is Ian Franz. He's the Director of Culture at Veterans United. It's a mortgage institute headquartered here in Columbia, Missouri. And so he is going to talk to us a little bit about the culture at Veterans United, lovingly known as VU. So, Ian, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and your role at Veterans United and a little bit about the culture at VU.
Sure. Thanks for saying that I'm a wonderful guest. That's nice. I could tell a joke and say that I'm super tall and athletic and just dashingly handsome, but I think people that watch the recording of this would know that's not true. But I do work at Veterans United as the Director of Culture. And what I'm responsible for is the experience whenever employees come to work. So my hope is that whenever someone starts working with us, that they can somehow leave at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of their career here, a better version of themselves, and they have been positively impacted. And so I'm not responsible for every single one of those interactions, but I am responsible for overseeing just the environment that people are in every single day with their coworkers.
For those that might not understand culture in a workplace, how would you define that?
I think it's really smart to do that because sometimes people hear the word culture in a workplace and they think that it's like the fun stuff that people do. I think of it really simply as just the collective personality of the company. So it's the way that people interact with each other. It's the way that they speak to their customers. It's the way they approach their work. It's the physical space. So like you walk in and you just kind of get this impression of what the place is like. And then really it's just like the collective behavior of all the people that work there. So we're experiencing it every single day when we work in, when we walk into a restaurant, when we walk into a grocery store, go to the post office, like there is a culture there and we're entering into it. Every single person is contributing to it all the time, for better or for worse.
Yeah. How was it determined at VU what the culture would be?
We took a little bit of a accidental approach. So we started out pretty small and scrappy, just with two brothers, and then they started hiring some of their friends. And then, you know, you fast forward a few years, they're hiring more people that they know, and then those people refer other people. And they get about 6, 7, 8 years in, and they felt like they had something pretty special, and that was kind of affirmed to them whenever outside vendors or just other business contacts would come in and say, wow, you guys have this like energy here. You have this something special about this place. And so then that kind of just made them think like, wow, maybe we actually do have something special. We're not the only ones that feel it. Maybe we should do something about that and not just let it continue kind of in a haphazard, just like hoping that everything works out for us, but be a little bit more intentional about it.
And so kind of evolved. And then through that evolution, it kind of said, wait a minute, maybe we really need to give some thought to this and be more intentional with it. So what is the culture now that it's intentional? Do you have a statement, or how do you present it to your employees?
Yeah. So back whenever they're having those conversations about what kind of company they wanted to be and just how they wanted to preserve this special feel that they had, they kind of looked at the company and realized like we didn't have a formal set of values. We didn't have like a collective agreement of like what's important to all of us. And so one of the owners, Brock, sent an email out to every employee and just asked like, what are your values? You wanted every single employee to respond. And back then we were about 150 people. And so he wanted 150 emails back to him of just what was important to people. And people replied back with all sorts of thoughts and comments, but they compiled it all together and they spent a couple of days just pouring through all of it. And then months, like, kind of fleshing out this value statement. And it was important to them to go through this process that it wasn't just like a top down, here's what's important to us, the owners and the CEO, and now you guys have to carry it out. It was, we wanted everybody's buy-in on it. And so out of that, we rolled out this value statement that was just three core values. And each one of them is just a tiny phrase with a paragraph underneath it that just gives a little bit more clarity. And those values are be passionate and have fun, deliver results with integrity, and enhance lives every day. So we think that out of those three and like the paragraphs that go with it, it pretty much encompasses just about any other like value that an employee at this point, like if someone were to join us tomorrow and I asked them like, what are some of your values? We think that it would encompass pretty much most of what they would say. Maybe not word for word, but the concept is in there. And that's just the way that we've carried out our business. And that's the way that we hire. And that's the way that we make decisions every single day is through those three values. And so it's been wonderful to have something that just kind of binds us all together and provides clarity and kind of like a compass for us to choose which direction to go.
Yeah, I love that you refer back to it when you think about how we hire. We go back to our values, how we make decisions about the work that we're doing. We go back to our values. And so that also means when we're choosing not to do certain things, right? So we use that as our guidepost for directing what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. Ian, how often do the employees encounter those value statements? I mean, is it a one and done kind of thing, or do they come up against and see and are exposed to those values? How often do you think that happens?
Well, for everybody that joins the company, they get it right on day one. So during our new hire orientation, we hit them pretty hard with it and we walk through it together. And we just try to make it a discussion so that they can see like, this isn't something that I now have to adopt, but this is something that I'm pretty much already in line with. So that's number one. And then throughout their training, we try to like integrate it into several other things so that it's not like, oh, it's 30 days in and it's time for us to do your values check. It's like, this should be kind of laced into everything that we do. So we have like phrases and some of the words just in our vernacular around here. But then like other maybe more standard times that people would encounter it would be during their performance evaluations. We've got it like, this is a thing that they kind of evaluate themselves on when they're doing their self-evaluation is what's part of the value statement that I feel like I'm doing really well at and what's something that I'd like to improve at. And that's a yearly thing for a lot of people. And then again, just like whenever we have presentations or sometimes different departments, whenever they have trainings or whenever they have meetings or something, they'll work this into part of their content. So it's like they're constantly just engaging with it. They're digging their hands into it. So it doesn't just become words on a wall or words on a piece of paper that gets thrown away and becomes irrelevant.
Yeah. So it is part of who they are as an employee, it sounds like. I mean, that they're exposed to this and it becomes how they do work. And that's sounds like how it lives within Veterans United. You know, what does it take from your perspective as the director? What does it take to maintain and sustain a culture like this? I mean, what are you actually doing during the day in your job to maintain this culture?
Oh man. Well, so maybe it'd be helpful to know that we have about 5,000 employees nationwide.
There you go.
And so my role has changed quite a bit from whenever I first stepped into it and we were around 350 employees.
Okay.
So whereas before I was very hands-on, I'd go around and I would be the one who's at these department or team meetings and like kind of giving presentations, or I'd just walk around and be able to like walk the floor and engage with employees. Now I kind of have to rely on lots of other people to do that. And so we have different people in HR that are doing this. We have our office assistants and some of our other members of our people services department who are really just kind of like the support group trying to make sure that employees have everything that they need. That they are carrying this out by interacting with people, by answering questions, by reinforcing the values through positive praise, just saying like, hey, I saw you do this and this is right in line with what we're trying to do. That's part of what I think it kind of takes for us now that we're at the, like a little bit of a bigger scale. What I am finding myself a little bit more occupied with nowadays is like kind of the bigger picture, trying to oversee programs that we're creating for employees to be able to like live out certain aspects of our values, whether that's about growth or whether it's about fulfillment or open and honest communication. So overseeing that kind of stuff and just creating opportunities for them to step into it.
Yeah. And is this culture for everybody?
That is a good question. I think that this type of culture, so if I could back up a little bit, you asked a question about like how I would describe our culture. So yes, it is our values, but whenever we summarize it, we just say that we just care. Like we try to care about each other. We try to care about the work that we do. We try to care about our clients. So what that does is it makes our jobs more difficult. So we could probably all think of an example of a company or an organization that we interacted with where that was really, really well done, where someone just really seemed to care about what they were doing and who they're doing it for. And then you can contrast that with a place where maybe that was not the case. Just someone seems really disengaged from their job. They don't seem to care about you as a customer, whatever. I think that the former, it's like the caring a lot, just leads to more stress. It just, if you didn't care about what you're doing, then why would you ever get stressed out about it? So in that way, I want like to answer your question, who is this right for? I think it's right for a person who has the capacity to care a lot. And it's probably not right for the kind of person who wants to just show up to work, clock in, get a paycheck, and then have their work be no more than just the duties they're responsible for. So what this leads to for us is a lot of getting involved in each other's lives and like taking time out of my day, which is very busy, to get to know people and like take interest in what's going on with them. And as you know, like you're a person too, like people are messy and people have a lot of things going on. And it means you kind of take on a lot of their issues, good and bad. And so there's just a lot of sharing communally. And I would say that's right for people who that sounds appealing to.
Okay. How has this culture impacted you personally?
Oh man. So I've been here for coming up on 13 years. I came here pretty much directly out of college. I grew up here. So I could say that it's impacted the way that I approach my marriage. It's the way that I approach being a father. And this was summed up really nicely by a guy. He sent an email to us for his 5-year anniversary just a couple weeks ago. And he talks about how like, it has literally impacted every single part of his life. Like he's as a faith person, like it's impacted his faith. It impacts the way that he treats his kids, the way that he approaches his work. He's a leader in his community, like all these different things he feels like he's better at because of the people that he's been just like surrounded by while he's at work. And when I was reading through it, I was like, man, that is so much like how I would describe it for me too. Wow. It's like, it's just touched every part of my life. Cause I don't feel like I go to work and I'm drained by it. I feel like I go to work and I'm just filled by it.
Wow. Wow. Is there an example? I mean, that's great feedback from him to you. And that, to me, that's kind of this chain reaction, you know, how you're impacted because he's impacted. And obviously this is a department that is run by you. What are some of the programs that you have implemented or that your team has implemented? Obviously, this is a big department that you feel has made the most traction.
Well, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about that, but I'll try just to pick some of my top ones.
Okay.
I think probably the most impactful is small groups. So for several years, we've done these small groups throughout the company where it's just a group of people that meet and talk through a book, read it together, and they talk through what they've learned from it. And then what we get from it is not just the knowledge that we get from the book, but also we get relationships from it. And that's been so huge for us as we were a small company, just kind of like building good relationships that way. But then as we get bigger, it makes this enormous company feel a lot smaller because you feel like it's more intimate. So that has probably been the most impactful thing that I can think of for our culture as far as a program goes. And it doesn't cost hardly anything. So if anyone's listening and they're like, what could I do to try and like build relationships among my employees? Like that's a really great way to do it. The second thing is we started talking about just like the overall wellness of an employee and not just them as a worker and how they can add value to the business. So we did something years ago It was called Map Your Path. And we've since evolved it into a few other different programs, but this one was just kind of like asking people to think about what are some of your goals for your life and what is going to be your approach to do it. And then we tried to sync them up with some of the resources that we had at the company of like how to go about becoming financially secure or how to become more confident in your relationships or how to be more intentional about your path for career growth. So that was a really neat one that we did. And then the third one I would say is several years ago, we brought on someone who kind of specializes in financial wellness. Mm. And she found some resources out there. There's like a bunch of Dave Ramsey stuff that you can get access to. But she started helping employees with their financial goals. And just paying off debts and saving for college tuition or paying off their credit cards each month, just so they have like some more financial freedom, just because that's such a huge stressor for people. And it can give them a lot of freedom to have like just some margin in their life. And we've had so many people take part in that and just like it just transforms their life. And so I'd say that's probably not a thing that a lot of people are looking for from their employer, but it's been right. An impactful thing that we've been able to do. And it's meant a lot for people.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of just helping people live their lives more successfully, not necessarily do work better. But if you can relieve some of the other stressors in their life, that allows them to do their work better. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is what you're hearing, I think. Yeah. And I think it could be easy for someone to hear that and think, okay, so if I do these nice things for my employee, then they'll work harder. Like they'll give more back to the company. And I think where we've been really fortunate is that our owners and our leaders, just like super, super genuine, authentic, caring people.
Yes.
And that has never, ever like left their mouth. They've never said anything like that. It's always been, we do this kind of stuff for people, period. Like, because it's the right thing, not so that right. we get something out of it. Yeah. And I think that's been a big difference because people can see through that stuff. They can see through whenever you're doing something for them so that you get something back.
Right. Right. It's not kind of this rule of reciprocity. If I do this, then I'll get that. Definitely. I can tell there's a genuineness. And to me, when, you know, just being in the community that VU has so many employees in, to me, that's the way you've been able to maintain such a reputation and such a longevity. With that good reputation in this community is because it is absolutely genuine. And if it wasn't, you wouldn't be as long standing as it is, you know, in my professional opinion, for whatever that's worth. we've been through a year. Let me just say that a year. We've been through a year where, you know, everybody went remote and there was a lot of pressures in ways we never imagined. How did you guys stay connected?
Yeah. So we were a split workforce. Okay. We've got people working from home, people working from different buildings, and kind of to our benefit, I told you that we have so many employees throughout the nation, but even in here in Columbia, we've got like 18 different buildings. Yeah. And so this idea of like working with people that are not in your exact physical location is not new to us. But what is new to us is that some people are working from home and their work experience was very different from someone who was in the office. So we tried to do like some normal, just like when you're in the course of your day and you're working with people, like there's still phone calls, there's still emails, there's still all of that stuff. But then not being able to gather in person was a big hit to us because that was just such a normal part of our diet. Mm-hmm. We tried to replace it with some things. I think it was like we limped along with it, like with virtual things, and lots of teams kind of started taking the initiative on that and doing virtual happy hours and doing virtual activities like painting or like food prep courses or whatever. So
yeah,
we tried to encourage that whenever we could. We are starting to bring people back into the office, and it feels like we're able to show the people who joined us last year a little bit a better picture of who we are. And the people who've been with us for a long time are like, we're finally getting back to like kind of where we were. It just is a little different until we kind of get over this hump, however big this hump mm-hmm. is, we should mm-hmm. get past it.
What's the hardest part about maintaining a culture like this?
Well, we've had this, I think this thing that just happens naturally with people is, I call it the diffusion of responsibility. So the idea would be like, if I walk into a room and there's 100 people and I say, I need 3 people to help me. And like maybe 2 hands go up because everyone thinks that someone else is going to do it. Even though everybody's probably willing to help. I mean, they all probably know me and they'd be willing to help. They just think that someone else is going to do it. And that has been a thing that we've dealt with for, I mean, as soon as we hit 4 employees, I'm sure it kind of planted the seed. But as we get bigger, it's a little bit harder for people to understand that each person has a responsibility to like maintaining and creating and like just reinforcing our culture and our values all the time. And so it can be easy to think like, oh, there's a team that does this, and so I can just come in and do my work. But it's really hard to just kind of like remind people all the time, like, no, truly everything that you do today is making work either better or worse for somebody else. And so like the onus is on you as a person. And that's just been hard to kind of keep in people's mind because we are busy and we do have jobs to do. Yeah. And it's hard to keep all that stuff up in the air while you're still trying to provide an amazing service for your borrower.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what then would you say, or what suggestions? Because I think about, I mean, all of the workplaces I have the privilege of going into and working as a consultant or, you know, training in particular areas of management that I do. But, you know, I often run into employees that are like, yeah, that's great, but, you know, that's not my employer. What suggestions then would you have for employees who don't work in a magnificent environment such as VU or have a culture that's like yours? What could they do in place if they're not in this environment?
I want to quickly give a little disclaimer and say that a lot of the things that we do are great, but we get it wrong so much. So if someone's out there thinking like, wow, VU has it all figured out, we don't. Like we mess up so much, but we're trying. Like we're trying to do right by people. So I would say if you're at a place and you don't have like all the resources, you don't have the buy-in, you don't have the leaders or the owners or the managers that are kind of like on the same page, I think it's just caring for the people around you can make such a big difference. And you might say like, yeah, but the people around me are just kind of, I don't know that like, I don't want to care about them. I don't know. Yeah, that can be that's like you move into a new place and you can't pick your neighbors, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you can impact what kind of experience you have while you're living at that place by being a good neighbor to others can sometimes coax others to be a good neighbor back. So that would be my advice, is get in to wherever you are and just try to treat the people around you the best that you can, because not only will it make life better for them, it might come back to you and it'll just kind of make like a better little pocket. And that could spread to other places.
That's a nice, it always, I don't know if you remember those books many, many years ago called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And, you know, one of the stories in there was about the starfish on the beach that had washed up on the shore. And, you know, 2 people were walking along and one picked up the starfish and threw it back into the ocean. And, you know, there were just hundreds more along the shoreline. And she said, why do you bother? You know, there's so many more, you know, it's endless. And the person who threw that in said, yeah, but I've impacted that one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it kind of is that story, you know, you impact where you are, right? You know, you only control yourself. And so thinking about that, bloom where you're planted, basically, is what I'm hearing you say is, you know, just look to your right or look to your left. You know, what can I do for that person on either side of me? And hopefully maybe they'll pass it along or pay it forward or whatever. You know, so that's for the employee where they are. How would I talk to my leaders about the impact that it might have? Can you give me some business case data or evidence that might move the needle in the eyes of my leadership? What's my business case? How am I going to prove it to my leadership?
That's like the hardest hitting question. And
I know, I tried to make it long so you could think about it for a little bit, but what justifies it to your leaders to keep the fight?
I'm going to give another disclaimer and say that I've never had to go to like a leader and say, hey, here's what we should do. And here's five reasons why.
Okay.
Fortunately,
I get it.
Yeah, we've had that buy-in, but I would just say like from experience, having seen it play out here, we do see higher engagement. We do see higher job satisfaction. We do see people who, whenever you do good for them, they do good for others. And so like, if there's an appeal to someone's humanity, like it feels right to do the right thing for people. Sometimes it costs more money. Sometimes if you want to treat people to lunch, or if you want to buy books for them, for their small group, it's going to cost some money, but it doesn't have to. Like going back to the whole neighbor example, like, or the starfish thing, being kind to someone doesn't have to cost you a dime. Like just changing your attitude, that's one thing that you're probably the most in control of. And that's the thing that any person could change, whether you're a leader or like an entry level person, is just having a good attitude. But if you're in the HR role and you're trying to make the case for somebody, you could say, if you're losing employees, if you're tired of that, like, what do we have to lose? Like, what would we have to lose if we just try it for a while? Like, why don't we implement like a program just to see if we can care for employees in a way that we're not currently doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is, it's expensive to rehire, mm-hmm. right? You know, misplacements and, you know, our displacements and those kinds of things. It's expensive to rehire and retrain. And trust me, I hear that a lot. Well, you know, guess where they went? Oh yeah. VU, you know, so I see migration, that kind of place. So you're right. Compliments are free, mm-hmm. you know, doing a good job recognizing your employees and showing an interest in their lives. A lot of, you know, that doesn't cost any money, being nice to people. So I appreciate you saying that. So we've got advice, you know, if you're an employee in the workplace, you know, look left, look right, be nice to those around you. And then of course, if you are in positions of leadership, I love what Ian said, you know, what have you got to lose? You know, if you're already losing employees, if you're already losing productivity due to low morale, those kinds of things. So as we think about wrapping up, Ian, any last words of wisdom when you think about workplace culture, and especially for our young professionals that might be, you know, maybe, you know, 2 to 10, 15 years in the workplace. And this is a really important thing for them when we think about workplace well-being and moving into layers of management, because this is our new leadership and where we're headed in the future. What advice would you give them?
I liked something that you said earlier. You said bloom where you are. And that reminds me of something that sometimes people ask when they join. They're like, how do I become a leader? Like, how do I move up here? And what we tell them is just be excellent where you are. So what sometimes you see people do is they look at the role ahead of them, or maybe two roles ahead of them, and they just like, they're so focused on that they stop watering their own grass. Mm. You know, they take a look at like where they want to go instead of where they currently are. And they don't pick the weeds out. They don't mow the yard. They don't do anything. And so then whenever someone comes around and is like looking for someone to come and tend to this other yard over here, they're like, well, you haven't even taken care of yours. So why on earth would I choose you to come do this? And so I tell people, just do your very best in the role and in the station that you're at. And if you are truly like genuinely trying to be excellent at it, I bet that it will pay off. And if it doesn't lead to something else, at least it will lead to like you feeling pride and like fulfilled at the work that you've done. So like it's a win either way.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story. I tell my college students, and back when I had the chance to see my college students, was, you know, the only job you start at the top of is ditch digging. So, you know, definitely. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being my very important and very special guest today, talking about culture, and especially coming from one of the most wonderful cultures in our community at Veterans United. So I really appreciate that. And with Ian's great advice today, both for leadership and for aspiring leadership, you know, taking care of the grass in your own yard and thinking about how you can use that information to move forward in your career. So with that, I just want to say thank you to Ian. And I want to tell all of you out there listening to our weekly workplace podcasts, go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.